gonna go ahead and get started. Well, it's good to see everyone tonight. Thank y'all for coming out to our Wednesday night Bible study. We're continuing in our Torah teaching of understanding His likes, God's likes and dislikes. And this week, we are continuing in our Torah portion number 18, Mishpatim, and it's Hebrew for right ruling. And this, I tell you, we say it every week. It's like this Torah portion is incredible. This one is awesome. This one is magnificent. And they all are. And just the more you read it, the more you get out of it. You know, just going over it again this evening and just something else just sticks out to you too every time you read it. Right when you think, oh, well, you shouldn't think you got it, but sometimes you think, well, man, I got something anyway. But it's always something new every time you read it all over again. That's just how the word, how incredible His word is. Never gets old to you. I don't care how many times you read it and go over it, over it, and over it. It's always new and always fresh. And that's just, I really enjoy doing this, doing the Torah portion. The Torah is Exodus 21:1 through 24:18. And the Haftorah is Jeremiah 34:8 through 22 and 33:25 through 26. So we're scoot on down to where we stopped at. Shabbat. We stop right here in this 2 Timothy 4, 3-4. And it says, for there shall be a time when they shall not bear sound teaching. Let's start talking about the tickling, the itching ear. And that's what the mass of is flocking to. They don't want the truth. They don't want the truth at all. They want somebody they want a smooth talker. We read about that, the smooth talker. They don't want somebody to tell them the truth. Because the truth hurts. Hear the truth makes you, it makes you want to, you got to change things. It'll tell you what you're doing wrong, what you should be doing, what you should be doing. But you see the massive, they want a smooth talk. They want someone just to tell me what I want to hear. Don't tell me what you want to tell me. Tell me what I want to hear. It says, but there shall be a time when they shall not bear sound teaching, but according to their own desires, they shall heap up for themselves teachers, tickling the ear, and they shall indeed turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to myths. The time that Shaul warned Timothy about is certainly upon us. About what warned Timothy about is certainly upon us, as we recognize how so many just love to get their ears tickled by falsehood and lies, in order to feel good about themselves. As I begin to ponder on these words, I cannot help but consider the danger of having one's ear tickled. If ears are not to be tickled, then what? Well, the answer is fairly simple. Have them pierced. Have them pierced. And we had a slide about talking about what it means to have your ear pierced. Pierce the ear. Piercing the ear speaks of the ability to hear and follow His word, to be heard as it is, even as it pierces. Too many today who claim to be servants of Messiah only want their ears tickled and not pierced with the truth. The piercing of the ear with an awl at the doorpost would be symbolic of the servant now belonging to the house. Who he belongs to? He belongs to the house. He belongs to the house that has house rules, not your rules, not your desires. You have house rules when you belong to a house. It's like raising kids. Sometimes your kids think that they got the rules, like they the boss, like they the mom and daddy. You know, they want to tell you when to turn the lights on and off. No, you lay the rules down. You the parent. You set the house. You set the rules of the house. And it's no different when you with Elohim. He sets the rules of the house. Who are we to come and think we can change His word? No. But it says they were doing that. What He says, He wanted, they were doing that for their own desires. We can't change his word. He sets the rules. It's not supposed to. You're not supposed to make it want to fit your life. It needs to fit your life. He sets it. He knows us right. He knows us wrong. We don't know better than him. Our kids, they don't know better than you. You're the adult. You're the parent. They think they know, but they don't really don't know. They have no clue. Until they get into adult life, then they realize, you know what, Mom? That's the first thing. I love it when they come to you. You know what, Mom and Dad? Y'all was right. Yeah. Huh. You think so? And I bet that's what the Father is telling us. You think so? When we finally come to our senses and say, you know what? When we humble ourselves and we admit that we was wrong, he's up there probably saying, you think so? Yeah. Been trying to tell you all these years. No difference with Jehovah. Same thing. And be submitted to the authority of the house. So many today are unwilling to submit to authority like this. And nobody wants to submit to authority. That's why we have the problems that we have in the world today. Nobody likes authority. Nobody likes rules. Can't tell me what to do. That's our mentality. That's our mindset. Nobody can tell me what to do. I'm a man. That's people's favorite word. I'm a grown man. I'm a grown woman. Yeah, you are. No doubt. But you still have this list. You're going to submit to something. You will submit to something. I can promise you. As one looks intently to the mirror of the word of Elohim, a question that many should be asking themselves is whether they are having their ears tickled or pierced. And what if he says you have to look intently into the mirror of the word. You have to really, really focus on it. And what it is it's trying to tell us. The Greek word that is translated as tickling is kinetho, and it's strong G2833. Which means to scratch and itch, and is used only in Shaul's letters to Timothy, being used as a metaphor for having the desire or itch to hear something that is soothing and pleasing to the ear. The desire to have to hear something that is soothing and pleasing to the ear. Those who refuse to submit to the Torah of Elohim will seek out teachers that will soothe their itching ears with deception and lies. Those that refuse to submit to the Torah, they will find that leader, that person, to give them exactly what they want to hear. And they're out there more than what the truth are out there speaking. A truth leader, a Torah teacher. And they have a lot of Torah teachers out there. They really do. But they have a lot of these ear ticklers. You find these far and in between, these Torah teachers. But you find these smooth talkers, soothers, you know, these ear ticklers itching by the grove. Shaul warned Timothy that a time would come when this would happen. Yet we also see this pattern being displayed by rebellious people in the days of Yeshayahu, Isaiah, when he was told to write the following down. Isaiah 38:11. And go, write it before them on a tablet, and inscribe it on a scroll, that it is for a later day. You think we're living in that later day? You better believe it. Living in it. A witness, how long? Forever. Write it down, it's a witness forever. His Torah is forever. It's not ended, it's not done away with, it's forever. It's going to be a witness forever. That this is a rebellious people, lying children who refuse to hear the Torah of Jehovah. And notice what he's calling them. Children. Lying children, rebellious people, believers. Who say to seers, do not see. And to the prophets, do not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us what is smooth. Prophesy deceit. Turn aside from the way. Swerve from the path. Cause the set apart one of Israel to cease from before us. How powerful is this passage? Listen. Swerve away. Turn aside from the way. Swerve from the path. Cause the set apart one of Israel to cease from before us. He says, you write it down on a tablet. This is forever. And this is also for a later time. Isaiah is prophesying this. And we see it unfolding right before our very eyes every day that we're open. Every day that we get to live, we're witnessing this. This very thing that Isaiah is prophesying about all those years ago. What he says his word would never do? Never return born. Never. If it's in here, it's in here for a reason. It's in here for our benefit. You think it's important? It's very important to make Bible study nice. It's very important to make Shabbat. To get this Torah, this word in us. Because there's things that's happening right before our eyes. People who refuse to hear the Torah of Yehovah seek out those who will speak to them what is smooth and prophesy deceit and not what is right. The Hebrew word that is translated here as smooth comes from the root word chel-kah, something like that. Strong's H2513, which means smooth part, smoothness, flattery, pleasant words. It comes from the root verb chalat, Strong's H2505, which means to be smooth or being deceitful, and also means to flatter or seduce. And there's plenty of those out and about. Though this word also carries the understanding of giving misleading opinions or thought about what is true, often encouraging wrong behavior. This root verb, chalat, Strong's H2505, is used to describe the smooth and flattering words of the strange woman in Proverbs 7:5. Listen, go back and read the whole chapter of Proverbs. So powerful. So powerful, this chapter 7. Because it's telling us how to guard against the strange woman. To guard you against the strange woman, against the foreigner and flatterers with her words. And if you read just the first 5 or 6 verses, just guard and obey my commands. That's what it starts off with. My son, guard and obey my commands, because that's what's going to protect you from the strange woman, from the whore, from the smooth talker. If you guard my commands and obey them, you cannot be deceived. Proverbs 7 emphasizes that the way to guard against the smooth and flattering words of deceit of the whore is to guard the commands. How sad is it today to see how so many have been seduced and following misleading opinions and are being encouraged to be disobedient. That's what's the sad part. They're being encouraged to be disobedient. They're being encouraged to not follow the Torah. You don't need that. Why are you going? You being a slave to that? We're going to get to the good part about the difference. We talked a little bit about it being a slave and a bondservant. And we'll see how all the apostles, after Yeshua, they were bondservants to his word. It wasn't slave. A slave is when you have a debt, and you're working to try to pay off the debt. We had a debt, but we didn't have to pay off that debt. That debt was paid for us. That debt was paid for us. We don't do nothing. So yeah, I want to be a bondservant to that. I want to be a bondservant to Yehovah. I want to be a bondservant to Yeshua Messiah. because he paid the debt. I didn't have to pay it. I was a slave to those things. But when he came up on the scene, how sad is it today? See how so many have been seduced and following this thing of opinion and are being encouraged to be disobedient by the smooth talkers. Beware of smooth talkers. And even more importantly, do not be a smooth talker. And how you want to do that? Be a what? Be a truth talker. You know what's a truth talker? Right here. You're not no smooth talk if you talking this. You know what they say if you talking this? They don't call it smooth. You're rough. You're mean. You're not kind. You're not loving. No, this is full of all those things you're telling me I'm not. I am kind. I am loving. I care about you. That's why I'm trying to tell you this. I'm trying to be a truth talker to you. But you don't want the truth talker. You want the smooth talker. Something about those smooth talkers, they'll get you here. It's just like a salesperson. A salesperson is a smooth talker. They'll get you. If you don't have the knowledge of what they're trying to do to you. If you go in there blind and not doing your homework, they'll get you. Make you think you got the best deal in the world. Just like the enemy. He makes you think you got the best deal in the world. I bought his lie. He made me feel like I had the best deal in the world. And I was headed for destruction, death. At the time it sounded like a good deal. You're not thinking about that. You're thinking about self. Smooth talker. Enemy's a smooth talker. Very smooth. Can't be deceiving to you, though, if you got this. If you're listening to the truth. The wisdom of Elohim will protect us. The wisdom will protect us from the ear-tickling words of the adulterous whore that is leading to so many astray. And we are clearly told in Ezekiel, that the flattering divination will be done away with. How at? As the word of Yehovah will be heard and adhered to. Another passage that says his word will never return void. Will be heard and adhered to. Ezekiel 12:24-25. For no longer is there to be any false vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am Yehovah. I speak in the words which I speak. Is done. It is no longer deferred. For in your days, O rebellious house, when I speak the word, I shall do it, declares the Master Yehovah. When I speak the word, listen, this is comforting to me. When I speak the word, I shall do it, declares the Master Yehovah. Listen. That's why it's so important when you get a word, you got to grab hold of it. You got to hold on to it with everything that is in you. No matter if it comes 5 years from now, 10 years from now, or that day. You hold on to it because he declares that he will do it. He will do it. Refusing to hear the Torah of Elohim and guarding to do what his Torah instructs will result in one's prayer not being heard. That's scary. That is scary. Because you want your prayers answered. When you're sick, when your wife's sick, when your kid's sick, when your kid's in a car accident, hanging on for life, you want your prayers answered. You want to be obeying the commands then. As we also take note of the clear rebuke given to a stubborn people who refuse to listen to the Torah. Zechariah 7:11-13. But they refused to listen, and they shrugged their shoulders and stopped their ears from hearing. And they made their hearts like flint against hearing the Torah. In the words which Yehovah of hosts has sent by his spirit through the former prophets. Therefore, great wrath came from Yehovah of hosts. And it came to be as he called, and they did not hear. So let them call, but I shall not hear, said Yehovah of hosts. Listen, when he called, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. That way, when you call, I want to have an ear being able to hear to answer you. I do not want to reject your calling. I do not want to reject your voice. I do not want to reject your word. Because why? In return, you reap what you sow. The measure you sow, I'll be measured back to you. Same thing for his word. In his word, the measure you sow to him will be measured back to you. You reject his word, guess what? He's going to reject your prayer. That's what the word is saying. That's not what we're saying. We're not making this up. It's in his word. But that is a scary spot, and I don't never want to be in that spot. Don't ever, because you don't never know when you're going to need that a touch, a healing. Never know when you're going to need it. Those who turn away from the hearing of the Torah, which implies a turning away from the required hearing in regarding to do what is heard from the Torah, are being vain in their attempted prayers. For even their prayers are an abomination to Yehovah. Proverbs 28:9. He who turns away his ear from hearing the Torah, even his prayer is an abomination. He who turns away his ear from hearing the Torah, even his prayer is an abomination. Think about those that lead in the masses astray and tell them they don't need the Torah. Think about that. They're responsible for everything they say, every word they say. I'm talking about the leaders. Some of our pastors, preachers, evangelists, those people. You think left of Matthew is important? Because if you're not reading left of Matthew, you're not getting it. You're not seeing it. You're not seeing Proverbs. Or if you're going to Proverbs, you want to read the good stuff in the Proverbs. You want to read the stuff that's telling you you're not doing the Torah. Your prayers are not even being heard. It's an abomination. Those who hear God and do the commands of Elohim are heard by Elohim. 1 John 3:22. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we guard his commands and do what is pleasing in his sight. Proverbs 15:29. Yehovah is far from the wrong ones, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. He hears the prayers of the righteous. The righteous are those who walk in and guard righteousness. And we are clearly told what righteousness is for us in. Where are we finding that? Deuteronomy 6:25. And it is righteousness for us when we do all this command before Yehovah Elohim, as he has commanded us. What is righteousness? Guarding all his commands. Not some of them. You don't get to pick and choose which ones you want to guard. Listen, if we're going to do it, we need to do it all the way. Not halfway. You do it all. You do it all with your all. You give it all you got. As servants of the Master, this is one of my favorite parts right here coming up. Because this is all in the New Testament. Shaul, all those guys, Peter, what they kept? What they were a bond servant to. As servants of the Master who have been bought at a price and have declared our love for our Master, we acknowledge and confess that we are now bond servants of the Most High, and shall serve him forever. We are bond servants to the Most High, and shall serve him forever, our Master, and the Most High.
Shaul was a servant of Messiah. Romans 1:1. Shaul, a servant of Yeshua Messiah, a call emissary, separated to the good news of Elohim. Shaul. Yaakov, the half-brother of Yeshua, was a servant of Messiah. James 1:1. Yaakov, a servant of Elohim and the Master, Yeshua, and of the Master, Yeshua Messiah. To the 12 tribes who are in dispersion, greeting. Kepha, Peter, was a servant of Messiah. 2 Peter 1:1. Shimon, Kepha, a servant and emissary of Yeshua Messiah. To those who have obtained a belief as precious as ours, by the righteousness of our Elohim and Savior, Yeshua Messiah. Yehuda was a servant of Messiah. Jude 1:1. Yehuda, a servant of Yeshua Messiah, a brother of Yaakov, to those who are called, set apart of Elohim, the Father, and preserved in Yeshua Messiah. All these awesome, awesome men, followers, disciples. In the New Testament, this all came in the New Testament right here. What they was, a bondservant to Elohim and Yeshua and the Master Yeshua Messiah. Meaning what? As a servant of Yeshua Messiah, we declare our commitment to hear, guard, and do. 2 Timothy 2:24. And a servant of the Master should not quarrel, but be gentle towards all. Able to teach, patient when wrong. A servant of the Master. Every last one of us in here. Not just the pastors. Listen. Should not quarrel. Be gentle towards all. What's gentle towards all mean? Everybody. Meaning those that says things about you. Those who rub you the wrong way. And be able to teach. Meaning you're going to be a witness to somebody. You're going to run into somebody in the grocery store. You're going to get the phone call one evening, one night. You got to be able to teach this. That's why it's so important that you do this on your own at home every single day. Not just wait for us to bring it to you, to bring it up here on Wednesday night, or on Saturday, Friday night and Saturday morning. No. Get it to where you are able to teach. And I say, you get the phone call and say, let me call you back. Pastor, what does this mean? No, you'll be able to teach this. You can. No different than us. But you got to get in it. You got to get in it. Patient when wrong. When you're wrong. Listen. Messiah was wrong. He wasn't wrong, but I mean he was wrong because people was wrong in him. Now he wasn't wrong, like wrong what he was doing. He was definitely right what he was doing. But being wrong, he was wrong by people. But he was patient with each and every last one of them. Isaiah 44:1. But now here, O Yaakov, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. The Hebrew phrase that is translated as, but now, here, is written as follows. Vayet Shema, where we see the following root words being used. Etah, Strong's 86258, which means now and at this time. And with the conjunction of the letter Vav, it renders the meaning and now or but now. And here, the emphasis on the call to hear now is very clear, as the word that is translated as here is the root word shema, Strong's H8085, which carries the meaning to not just simply to hear, but rather to listen with attention, comprehend and discern. Give heed to what is being spoken. Shema. Listen with attention. and to comprehend and discern and give heed to what is being spoken. Understanding our need to be a people who are listening attentively and giving heed to His word in a time when most are not, let us recognize that this is certainly the time to now be a hearing and discerning and obeying people. Listen, now is the time. We don't have, you know, later. We don't have more time. Now, He's saying, now is the time for us to be a hearing people, discerning and obeying. The call to hear is given to His call out and chosen servants who have ears to hear. The root word that is used here in the Hebrew for servant is eved, Strong's H5650, which means servant, slave, and bond servant. And as a child of Israel, when we have become, which we have become by the blood of Messiah, we are servants of Yehovah. Leviticus 25:55. Because the children of Israel are servants to me, they are my servants whom I bought out of the land of Mizraim. I am Yehovah your Elohim. Listen, He brought them out of Egypt, Mizraim. He did the same exact thing for us. He brought us out of our spiritual Egypt, our captivity, our slavery. For what? For us to be servants, bond servants to Him, to hear God and do His command, to be obedient. The Hebrew word aved is used 800 times in the Tanakh and is used as a noun and comes from the primitive root verb aved, Strong's H5647, meaning to work, serve, observe, do the work, cultivate, and worship. It carries the understanding of expending considerable energy and intensity in performing a task or function. In other words, giving it your all. Giving it your all. Listen, expending considerable energy and intensity. We put intensity and energy into a lot of other things. A lot of energy to where it makes you sick. Literally, like physically sick. You use up so much of your energy to do other things to where your body just, you drain. You can't go no more. You're fatigued. But He's saying, won't you turn that around and put it into this? Put it into being obedient to me. Put that same amount of energy and watch how much I will bless you if you put that same amount of energy into this, into doing, hearing, guarding, and doing this. And it says, blessings over your life. He says, when you're sick, I'll heal you over your life. When you pray for healing, I'll hear and answer it over your life. There's a big difference when you're using that type of energy for his laws, His right rulings, His commands, instead of using energy for your desires, your fleshly desires. Give it our all. In the ancient pictograph script, the word aved, Strong's 5650, and aved, Strong's 5647, are pictured as follows. The ayin, the original pictograph for this letter, and it's pictured as an eye, and represents the idea of seeing and watching, as well as knowledge, as the eye is the window of knowledge. The bet. The ancient script has this letter, as which is a picture of a tent floor plan. It carries the meaning of house or tent. It represents family and the importance of those who are inside the tent, as opposed to the tent structure itself. The dalet. The ancient script has this letter and is pictured as a tent door, and it can also have the meaning of a back and forth movement, as one goes back and forth through a tent door and so speaks of an access point. It can also carry the meaning of dangle or hanging, as the tent door would hang from the roof pole of the tent. It speaks a great deal in terms of understanding the door of the tent of appointment as the only means of access. When we look at this word in the ancient script for a servant or one who serves, we can see that it speaks of one who watches at the door of the house. And this is what our master calls us to do. Watch at the door of the house. And when we consider that Yeshua Messiah is the door, then we further see our need to continually be looking at Him and praising Him as we diligently are serving in spirit and truth, guarding to do all His commands. And this is how we too keep watch over the house, body of Messiah, with true joy. The equivalent Greek word for servant is doulos, Strong G1401, and is translated as slave, servant, bond servant, bond slave, both men and women. In the Greek mindset, where there is the service duty of a doulos slave and obedience required by a slave, the right of self-government is seen to be set aside and another's takes precedence of one's own, with the thinking that you have no right to govern self as another governs you by their standards. Now, while we must understand that the Greek city-state was very dependent upon the service of its citizens, they gave service with all their powers, and often even with life itself. However, what is repudiated in the Greek mind is service after the manner of the doulos, who not only has absolutely no possibility of evading the tasks that have been laid upon him, but he also has no right of personal choice, but must rather do what another would have done and refrain from doing what another would not have done. In the doulos, the free Greek world always sees its own antitype. And in the doulos, the concept of performing the duties of a slave, it sees the perversion of its own nature of freedom. Hence, the Greek mindset can only reject the scorn, the slightest resemblance to that of a slave. With the Greek concept of Elohim, there is in fact no place for this word doulos being used as an expression of religious relationship and service. So in essence, what I am trying to tell you is simply this. To the Greek mind, serving according to the manner of a doulos is not on. They will serve, yes, as long as it fits in with their needs, and they are in agreement with the requirements, and in doing so may even respond saying, I will do what you ask. Even if it makes sense to me and I can fit it into my way of thinking. And naturally, the Greek mindset will resist the concept of, I will submit and obey and do what you command, even if I do not understand. Big difference. I will submit and obey and do what you command, even if I do not understand. We don't understand everything that is in here. Not to the fullest. We ask Him every day, help us to understand more and more. I want to know you more and more. The Torah, understanding Yah's likes and His dislikes. We don't understand it, but we still obey it. We still tell Him, I don't understand everything, but if your word says it, I want to do it. If it says it, I want to, no matter if I don't understand it, if it says it, that's good enough for me. I'm going to try my hardest to do it. And later on, you'll bring revelation to me. But that's just how good you are. You want me to understand. I might not understand at the time, but I'm still going to obey it. Because if you say it, that's good enough. I want to obey it. Not if I can fit into my way of thinking. That statement right there means I'm going to get up in here, then I'm going to twist it to make my way of thinking. I'm going to add to or take away to make it fit my way of thinking. I find this very fascinating, as it certainly begins to uncover and explains the resistance by so many to submit and serve Elohim according to his Torah. One of the major reasons for this resistance of the concept of doulos is that this word, doulos, Strong's G1401, comes from the word deo, Strong's G1210, which means to bind, tie, put in chains, and prisoner. Certainly, this concept of seeming enslavement is greatly rejected by the Greek mindset, who claims its own freedom and understandably rejects the notion to be commanded to obey the Torah. Some may plainly state that whenever you would say you must do or you have to in any message that you give, they will resist that tone and reject the instruction and say that you cannot tell them that they must do anything. How true is that? You tell them you must do or you have to? The first thing they're going to say, you can't tell me. You can't tell me what to do. I'm 40-something years old. I'm 50-something years old. Care less how old you are. I mean, I know you're old. I see the gray hair in your head. You're old. I get it. That's why Pastor's so good at it. Don't take my word. I can't tell you what to do. You got to do it for yourself. Perfect answer. That way you can't tell me. You can't tell me what to do. But he can tell you what to do. That's the one telling you anyway. I'm just a speaker. I'm saying what he said. That's what Yeshua did. He said the same thing his father said. He said, that's all he said. The words that I speak is not even my own, he said. They're his words. I'm not telling y'all. He's telling y'all. That's why the people, they don't hate you. They hate the God you serve. That's who they hate. They hate the Master. They hate Yehovah. When you tell them this, it's not you that they hate. It's him. But they just, some of them got the guts to say it. Some of them don't. You get the crazy ones that'll say stuff like that. The enemy got their mind so twisted and so manipulated that they say those kind of words. Well, now I have come to understand just how the effect of Greek thinking has penetrated many minds in their approach to the truth, and as a result, refused to become true servants or doulos of Messiah. Now, while this word or concept is greatly rejected by a Greek mindset, we see in the Greek text very clearly that this word is used 127 times in the renewed writing. In fact, we are told that Messiah took the form of a doulos, Philippians 2:7, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, and came to be in the likeness of men. Messiah took the form of what? A servant. In the Hebraic mindset, becoming a bondservant of Messiah is not a burden. In fact, it is a burden to not become one. Amen. It's a burden to not become a servant of Messiah, a bondservant. We was talking about this a little while ago, me and Pastor upstairs. You know, you're going to be a servant of something. Some people, you know, to support their habit, they do things to get things to support their habit. But then you have some that if it's prescribed by a doctor, they think it's okay. Let me kind of break it down a little bit. If you like values, you're a bondservant to it. Now, if you're not prescribed them and you like them, you're going to do other things to get them. But then you got the ones that's prescribed to it, so they can just go to a pharmacy, get it, and they can just sit at their table, drive down the highway, however they want to do it, and just be mellowed. calm. You ain't got a care in the world. Listen. This goes along with the Torah. You are a bondservant to this stuff. And I guess it's kind of hard to, if you don't really get it, because if you never did it, you really don't know. But I promise you, you're a bondservant to it. How can you say that, Pastor? Because I was a bondservant to it. Listen, I'm so thankful that I didn't have a doctor write me up a script. So thankful. Because I probably would have never got off the stuff. If it was, you know, I mean, I would have had that mindset that, I mean, I'm good. It's prescribed by a doctor. I'm glad. This grandma said it, and this probably shouldn't say it, but I'm glad I was doing it the illegal way. Don't take that with a grain of salt, really. Don't take that seriously. Seriously, though, me, myself, because ain't no telling what would have happened if the doctor was giving it to me, and I didn't have to hide or, you know, sneak around to do it. But you're a bondservant to it. You're going to be a bondservant to something. It might not be that. It might be alcohol. It might be some other type of drug. You're a bondservant to it. Listen, even could be your favorite show. The way you're putting hours and hours and hours in it and not doing this. That is a bondservant. It ain't got to be drugs. Let's just talk about a TV show. Something so harmful. That statement, you can't tell me what to do. Well, I'm going to tell you. I'm responsible for what I say, for what I shouldn't say, or what I should say. If you're doing the TV shows more than you're doing your Bible study or your Torah, you're a bondservant to you. You're not a bondservant to the Master or Yehovah. It's the truth. Listen, I'm not a smooth dog. I'm going to be a true dog anyway. You're bondservant to those things. Be careful. Don't think it's just drugs and alcohol that you can be bondservant to. Be the little things that you have no idea that the enemy then tricked your mind to thinking that you need just a little television. 4 or 5 hours go by and you're still watching. You got to get up for work in 2 hours. Put this in your hand. I'm tired. That quick. Bondservant. Break mindset. Becoming bondservant Messiah is not a burden. In fact, it's a burden to not become one. And we recognize that we are no longer our own and that He has bought us at a price. And we have made the choice to serve. He makes it clear for us. Choose life or death. We choose life, and with that choice comes the responsibility to live, as He commands and gives an account of how we have lived and managed His property when He returns. Manage His property. I like that. Whatever I got is not mine. I didn't get it. He gave it to me. He blessed me with it. Everything. It took me some time to realize that. It really did. Because I thought, you know, hey, I'm getting up, going to work every day. I bought that. I got that. I did that. No. Put on the mind of Christ. That ain't mine. He gave it to me. He woke me up every morning. He gives me the help to go do this job. Not me. I can't do nothing without Him. Nothing. His property. And I want to manage it right. I want to manage it correctly for when He returns. When we make the choice to become a bondservant of Messiah forever, the choice we're going to make forever. A bondservant to Messiah. I don't know if we really understand what forever means. It's simple. means forever. Not 5 years, not 10 years, not 20 years. Your whole life, forever, a bondservant to Messiah. Why? Because it's because of the price that he paid for me to be a bondservant. I didn't pay a price. That one of us didn't pay the price. He did. In order to be that bondservant. Make a choice. We are in a way relinquishing our own rights to choose any other options to serve in our own manner or way of understanding, as we accept by choice to submit and obey whatever he commands us to do. Deuteronomy 12:8. Do not do as we are doing here today, each one doing whatever is right in his own eyes. It is to the doulos of Messiah that the revelation of Messiah has been given, in order to show us what must take place speedily. Revelation 1:1. And it is the doulos of Messiah that is sealed on the forehead. Revelation 7:3. And it will be the doulos of Messiah that will serve him. Revelation 22:3. Revelation 1. Starting with verse 1. Revelation of Yeshua Messiah, which Elohim gave him to show his servants what has to take place with speed. And he signified it by sending his messenger to his servant Yohanan, who bore witness to the word of Elohim and the witness of Yeshua Messiah to all he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the word of this prophecy and guard what is written in it, for the time is near. What he calls you? Blessed. Blessed are those who read and hear and guard what is written, for the time is near. Revelation 7, verse 2 and 3. And I saw another messenger coming up from the rising of the sun, holding the seal of the living Elohim. And he cried with a loud voice to the four messengers to whom it was given to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, until we have sealed the servants of our Elohim upon their foreheads. And here's some extra reading footnotes. See Revelation 9:4, Revelation 14:1, Revelation 22:4. Revelation 22:3 and 4. And no longer shall there be any curse, and the throne of Elohim and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be upon their foreheads. As we recognize who our Master is, then may we be a people who recognize that we have chosen to serve, and we are to be found serving with great joy and not be found to be lazy in our duty and responsibility that he has given us, as he has given us all collectively many talents for which he expects 100% harvest of fruit in his back. How are you serving the Master while he has gone on a journey? Listen, what it says? Everyone has many talents. Everyone has a talent. Each and every one of us in here has a talent to serve the Master. You just got to find your talent. You got to know your talent. And do what? Put it to use. It says 100-fold, 100%. Not to be found lazy. Have you been struggling with the Greek mindset of resistance to submit and obey to the Master's will? Or do you embrace the true Hebraic mindsets of our faith in Messiah, our Master, and are giving your all? You cannot serve Elohim and man. You cannot serve. You don't love one or hate the other. We are no longer slaves or servants or doulos of sin, but have been set free from sin, so that we are now a doulos, still a servant and slave, to righteousness. And we must serve our Master with our all. The very thing Shaul speaks about in Romans 6. He was, among other things, explaining the different mindset and approaches to being a doulos. You're still a servant. You're still a doulos. It's not the sin. Romans 6:16-18. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves servants for obedience, you are servants of the one whom you obey? Whether of sin to death or of obedience to righteousness? But thanks to Elohim that you were servants of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and having been set free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. But thanks be to Elohim. You are a doulos of the one you obey, even if it of self. But we who are a doulos of sin obey from the heart that form of teaching, what is written upon our hearts, the Torah. We have obeyed the teaching of the Torah, the very word we have been entrusted with as a doulos of the Master, and are now free from sin, equipped to be a good and faithful doulos of righteousness, which is to guard to do all our Master commands us to do. Hebrews 12:28. Therefore, receiving an unshakable reign, let us hold the favor through which we serve Elohim pleasingly with reverence and awe. Verses 7-11, female slave. Here we see the protection of the female who is given as a servant or is engaged. She must not be neglected in any way at all. Deuteronomy 15:17 tells us that a female servant can have her ear pierced too, just as the male servant. Verse 7 tells us that when a man sells his daughter as a servant, she does not go free as a male servant do. This was possibly due to the reason he would sell his daughter to eventually become the recipient's wife, which explains verse 8. If she has become displeasing in his eyes, then in his eyes she shall be ransomed and not sold off. Yeshua ransomed us as enslaved bride who had been deceived and was sold into slavery. Verse 9, if she was engaged to her master's son, she would be treated as a daughter. And if his son took another wife, then she would still be cared for and not have her marriage rights diminished. He would be required to supply her food, clothing, and shelter, or else she could go free. We have been engaged to the son, and our marriage rights are preserved to him, as Yeshua clearly tells us, as that we are not to worry about what we shall eat or what we shall wear or where we shall sleep. Matthew 6:31, do not worry then, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? Why? Because Messiah did that for his bride. You see how he fits every part of the scripture? Every single part. He fits every single part. He's not divorcing us. He don't give up on us. We divorce ourselves. We pull away from him. He doesn't do those things. He's loyal to his marriage. He meant when he said, I will do this, 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 and this. Do not worry then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Verse 10 through 11. If he, that is the son, takes another wife, then the marriage rights of the first woman to whom he had been engaged shall not be diminished. And if he does not give her food, clothing, and shelter, then she is free to leave without silver. What we see here is a shadow picture of a sure promise of our betrothal to the Master. For he himself tells us not to worry about food, clothing, and shelter, for he has bought us and redeemed us, giving us full assurance of his complete provision forever. His word does not fail. Therefore, we need never fear having to leave his presence without redemption. Verses 12 through 14. If you murder, you will be put to death. The Hebrew word translated here in verse 12 as strikes is nakah, Strong's 852-51, which means strike, make physical contact with a blow, cause the destruction of an object, or strike the mouth of the sword, or kill. Strike with the mouth of the sword, or kill. Premeditated murder was punishable by death. But if you kill by accident, then a place of refuge would be a place to flee to where right ruling would decide whether the killer was guilty of murder or not. Cities of refuge were allocated when they entered the Promised Land, where an accused murderer could flee to and be kept safe for trial. We call it jail nowadays. In the Promised Land, 48 cities were to be given to the Levites, and 6 of those were to be cities of refuge for a manslayer to flee to. The Hebrew word that is translated as refuge comes from the root word Miklot, Strong's 84733, meaning refuge and asylum. Asylum. So you might as well talk. This noun denotes the place of refuge from the revenger of blood and is used 20 times in Scripture and is always used in connection with the cities that were appointed to provide asylum for those guilty of involuntary manslaughter. The one who is guilty of murder was to be put to death, while initially those not guilty of homicide could seek asylum at the altar, while those who killed with premeditation should be dragged from the altar and executed. If someone was guilty of acting presumptuously against his neighbor in order to kill him by treachery, he could not even find refuge at the slaughter place of the Most High. Verse 15, respect your father and mother, and do not strike them. 1 Timothy 1, 8-9. And we know that the Torah is good if one uses it legitimately. Knowing this, that Torah is not laid down for a righteous being, but for the lawless and unruly, for the wicked and for sinners, for the wrongdoers and profane, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers. Why? Because the Torah will let you know what you should be doing and what you shouldn't be doing. It's for correction. It's for discipline. That's why it hurts a little bit when you're getting it. Because you got some corrections to make in your life. You need a little discipline in this area. You need a little discipline in that area. But they don't want that. Striking your father or mother is a serious offense and is classed with the most wicked of offenses, for which the Torah will come down upon you greatly. That's why I said when the world gets back to this, going to be so much of a better place. But listen, not only do nowadays they strike mother and father, they kill mother and father. Much less strike them. They'll kill their mom and dad. You wouldn't even blink an eye. You think we're that far, we're far away from this? Look how far we are away from the door. The world. When I say we, I mean the world. Wouldn't even think twice about killing their own parents. The Hebrew word for mother is ameh, Strong's H517. It means mother, point of departure. This word is used 202 times and is always used to express mother, except for once when it is used in Ezekiel 21:21. For the sovereign of Babel shall stand at the parting of the way, at the fork of the two ways to practice divination. He shall shake the arrows. He shall ask the household idols. He shall look at the liver. Here the word that is used primarily for mother is translated here as departing, meaning the source of departure. And in a clear metaphoric sense, we are able to see that the sovereign of Babel standing at the parting of the way in order to practice divination and witchcraft is a clear picture of departing from the source of nourishment and training of a mother in order to resort to abomination matters that will cause a mother's grief. Hawa is figuratively referred to the Emma, the mother of all living in Genesis 3:20. Devorah is referred to as the Emma, mother of Yisrael, in Judges 5:7. In a time when leadership had ceased and she arose as a mother, the term mother is also used figuratively in describing a city as a mother to its inhabitants. In the clear rebuke that is given to her for causing her inhabitants to turn away from the right rulings of Elohim is very clearly expressed in Isaiah 51, Ezekiel 16:44, and Hosea 2:2. As one studies the context in which this term for Mother M is used, we are able to glean some further insight as to the role and duties of a mother, as portrayed both literally and figuratively in the word. A mother is a comforter. Isaiah 66:13. As one whom his mother comforts, so I comfort you. And in Yerushalayim, you are comforted. A mother is a comforter, more than a father. A teacher. Proverbs 31:1. The words of sovereign Lemuel, a message which his mother taught him. A discipliner. Zechariah 13:3, and it shall be when one prophesies again, then his father and mother who brought him forth shall say to him, you shall not live, because you have spoken falsehood in the name of Jehovah. And his father and mother who brought him forth shall pierce him through when he prophesies. What we must also take careful note of what her children owe her, and that is to respect and honor her, show obedience to her teaching and instructions, and must never dishonor her nor forsake her Torah. Proverbs 1:8, my son, heed the discipline of your father, and do not forsake the Torah of your mother. The picture of both father and mother represents both the discipline and teaching that is needed to mature a true child to becoming a faithful son of Elohim. Having said that, we see how the discipline of a father and the Torah of a mother is a clear picture in Scripture of being brought up correctly in the word of Elohim. The purpose of the Torah is to train us to maturity, and we see that we are told that the Torah is our trainer unto Messiah. Galatians 3:24-26. Therefore, the Torah became our trainer unto Messiah, in order to be declared right by belief. And after belief has come, we are no longer under a trainer, for you are all sons of Elohim through belief in Messiah Yeshua. Listen, the Torah is the trainer. The Torah is the comforter. The Torah is the disciplinarian. It's all those things that a mother is. And I'm ready. As we grow up under the discipline of a father and the Torah of a mother, metaphors for the fullness of the teaching of the Torah of Elohim, we are brought to maturity and are enabled and equipped in the Master to walk according to that by which we have been trained. We do not forsake the Torah because we know the Master, Yeshua Messiah. On the contrary, we uphold it and guard it, and guard to walk in it as faithful sons of Elohim. To neglect the need to walk in the clear wisdom of the Torah of Elohim and submit to the clear instructions, teachings, and discipline and comfort that the word brings us is simply foolish and will not cause the Father to rejoice, but rather brings grief to the one who brought them forth. The one who strikes his father or mother is a picture of the one who refuses to obey and walk in the door of Elohim. That's striking your father or mother. You refusing to obey or walk in his Torah. You refusing the comfort from it. You refusing the discipline from it. And the Torah is telling us, don't do that. What does it tell you? Honor. Honor it. How you honor it? By obeying it. By hearing, guarding, and doing it. You're honoring your father and you're honoring your mother. You're honoring them. Just a few more. I'll start with highlighting. Verse 16. Do not kidnap. This literally would be to steal a person. This shows a lack of respect and love for one's neighbor, and therefore breaks the commands of Elohim. Selling the one kidnapped would not be done within Israel, but to foreign nations. We see a picture of this with Yosef, who was kidnapped by his brothers and sold to a foreign nation as a slave for 20 pieces of silver. And for this, they were worthy of death. Yet we once again see a picture of Yosef being the redeemer of his people, foreshadowing for us Yeshua, who was in effect kidnapped by his own and sold for 30 pieces of silver. Yet we who deserve debt find his mercy and kindness to forgive us. They sold Yosef for 20 pieces of silver, and this latter would become the evaluation of a male between 5 and 20 years old. When a man separates a vow, by your evaluation of lives unto Yehovah, Yosef was still a youth. And this shows the separation of Yosef unto Yehovah. The value of a male from 20 to 60 years old was 50 shekels of silver. And for a female, it was 30 shekels of silver. And from this, we are able to see how Yeshua Messiah paid the full price for us, his bride, when he was sold for 30 pieces of silver. The Hebrew word that is translated as kidnap is ganav. Strong's H1589, which means to steal, kidnap, and be stolen. Genesis 40:15. For truly I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done naught that they should put me into the dungeon. To be kidnapped or stolen is to be taken away from your house or place of safety without your consent. And this we can see in the ancient script of this word, ganav. Strong's H1589, which looks as follows. The gimel. This is the letter gimel, which in the ancient script is pictured as a foot and carries the meaning to walk, gather, and carry, as clearly referring to the functions of a foot. And it can also give the meaning of a gathering of people. And we know that feet in Hebrew speak of one's walk and ability to keep the feast of Yehovah and represent one's walk. The noon. The ancient script has this letter as a sprouting seed and gives the idea of continuation or an offspring or an heir. Speaking of that which sprouts forth will be the heir of the promise of continuation and represents one's life expectancy. The bet. The ancient script has this letter as which it pictures a tent floor plan, house, which means house or tent. It represents family and the importance of those who are inside the tent as opposed to the tent structure itself. And is the dwelling place of the Most High, which we are as living stones being built up in Messiah. Seeing this word in terms of being stolen away or kidnapped, we can see here the clear representation of one who has been carried away from their house and cut off from their inheritance. One who has been carried away from their house and cut off from their inheritance. That is kidnapped, that is stolen. Listen. That is what the enemy wants to do with each and every one of us. He wants to kidnap us. He wants to steal us. Why? Because he don't want us to have our inheritance of the house. I mean, we got inheritance waiting for us. And he's doing his job. He wants to separate you completely. I'm sorry. But that's what he wants to do. He wants to separate you from your house, and he don't want you to have your inheritance. He don't want you to honor your mother and your father. Why? Because you don't honor your mother and father, guess what? Death. What the word says, death. You don't honor Yehovah, you don't honor your mother, the inheritance you got is death. Enemy wins. In many ways, we too, through sin, have been stolen away or kidnapped and taken away from our true dwelling. Typically, in a kidnapping scenario today, we are able to recognize that there is normally a ransom demand for the return of the one who has been kidnapped. Oh, I'm glad you didn't stop. This understanding makes us fully appreciate the full ransom price that Messiah paid with his own blood. Listen, they want ransom money nowadays. They set it high. Yeah, it's happening. You know, it's not just on the movies. Look, the movies is just doing stuff because it's out there in the world. They're just putting it in your face, letting you know that we're doing it. It's real life stuff when you watch the movie, somebody kidnaps somebody, they want high ransom. It's happening in our world today. And it happened to us. But look, listen, the enemy set the ball, he set it high. He ransomed us, and he set a price that could not be paid. But Yehovah, he says, "What? Hold on. Let me show you something." This understanding makes us fully appreciate the full ransom price that Messiah paid with his own blood. He paid with his blood. You just thought you won. That we may be brought back to our true dwelling and walk in the fullness of our inheritance to come as we abide in his house, being protected from ever being kidnapped again. Protection from ever being kidnapped again. He cannot kidnap you again. If you're hearing, guarding, and doing, cannot happen. If you're not doing that, then yes, you can be kidnapped again. Let's not fool ourselves. You can be kidnapped. He did it once, he can do it again. If you're not being obedient to this right here, if you're not obeying your mother and father. What is very clear here in this instruction given regarding the faith of a kidnapper is that Satan, the kidnapper of many souls, will be put to death. And the ransom shall return. Isaiah 35:10. And the ransom of Yehovah shall return and enter Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and singing shall flee away. Woo! Hallelujah. We'll be put to death. And the ransom shall return. Amen. So good to us. Huh? You want to serve him? Absolutely. You want to be obedient to him with everything that is in me. I want to be obedient to him. I gave energy to a lot of other things. And for the price that he paid, I don't want to cut him short. No, he didn't cut short. Yeshua didn't cut short. He gave all his energy. To where his blood, his sweat, his tears, all that was blood. You think he gave me a lot of energy? He does believe it. He gave it. Amen. He's good to us. I'm going to stop right there because I got no more time. Force me to stop. What an honor and a privilege. So listen. Let's be obedient to our mother and father. Not just be a hearer, Let's hear God and do. Let's be obedient. Listen, again, I don't want to be in a spot to where I'm praying and he don't hear my prayer. And he don't answer. It says his prayers are abomination to him because I don't want to be obedient to him. I don't want to be in that spot. Even if I don't understand it, I submit to your commands. Even if I don't understand it. Amen. Any prayer requests?